Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
On history.fm and liveparanormal.com radio. This is Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John. This is John DeSalvo, your guide for the next 60 minutes, and I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Are crop circles man-made or produced by some unknown intelligence? What are the theories of crop circle formation? Do they give us any information about what may occur in 2012? We'll be exploring these questions and many more with our very special guest tonight, Joseph Mark Cohen. Joseph Mark Cohen has been a professional Kabbalistic astrologer for over 40 years. As a sacred site explorer, he gives tours to sacred places, including Egypt and crop circle locations in the UK, Ireland, Sidonia, and the Canadian Rockies. Joseph Mark is the author of the Codes of the Kabbalah CD trilogy, the epic poem Aleph 2160, a zodiac oracle, and the beautiful new crop circle oracle deck cards. I have those, and I can vouch for their magnificent cards, and they're just wonderful to have. You can learn more about his books, his CDs, and his cards by visiting his website at www.treeoflifeschool.com. And if you go to our radio website at drjohnradio.com, you can get a direct link to his websites. Also, see our upcoming guests, download our past programs for free, and get all the information about any of our guests. So that's drjohnradio.com. Why I'm so excited of having Joseph Mark on is whenever I talk to him, the conversation just goes on and on. I think if he was my neighbor, we would be up to two or three every morning just talking about the paranormal and philosophy in life. He's one of the most interesting people I've ever met, an incredible researcher, and a wonderful tour guide. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the show my very good friend, Joseph Mark Cohen. Welcome, Joseph Mark, to the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you on radio, Dr. John.
Well, listen, I've been so excited about this because I've been interested in crop circles for years, but that's one area I know very little about. There's been so much, I guess, misinformation. So, you just have so many areas of research. This is just one of them. But maybe we could just simply start off by giving us, maybe the audience, a brief description of what crop circles really are and some just basic information of what theories are about their production.
Okay, we can try that. I've been going to the circles in the UK, in Britain, for since the early 90s, maybe even a little bit before. And, of course, it's quite easy for people to follow it online, either through Crop Circle Connector or my friend Steve Alexander's site, temporarytemples.co.uk. And it is the most beautiful, fascinating, enigmatic, and perhaps energetic experience that we have happening on the planet right now for many. The circles themselves started out very small. It's almost like an interdimensional intelligence is presenting us with a universal sacred geometry, mathematical codes of creation language. And every year, more and more gets revealed To this year, the most magnificent formation came down on the 15th of August and was actually a fifth-dimensional sacred geometry form. And, of course, that can only be seen from an airplane. However, meditating inside of a crop circle is one of my favorite kinds of meditations. And I've been in, you know, I've been 10 times in Egypt in the King's Chamber, and I've been at Teotihuacan and many of the earth grid sites. But the crop circles are like a fresh kind of acupuncture for the planetary grid in preparation for what some people are calling a dimensional shift, or certainly a shift in the geometric auric field of our planet coming up.
You know, when you meditate, and this really interests me because, you know, meditation has been a big part of my life over 30 years. Can you explain, like, how is it different than, say, what you experience in the King's Chamber? Or are there any, like, alien feelings or something more strange than a normal meditation in a sacred place?
You know, every place has its own feeling. And, of course, I'm somewhat of a nature mystic. I grew up as a child by Niagara Falls, and I love waterfalls. It doesn't matter how large. And, of course, at a waterfall, you're getting an extra oxygen, and you have a sonic current background. King's Chamber is something else. It's tuned to 256 cycles per second. It's very precise. You're in a receiver for cosmic rays, and you've also got probably a connection with some past, with an ascended master energy there as well. Whereas in a crop circle, for one, you're in a beautiful field in a sacred landscape in Britain. You're probably within, you know, 15 miles of a stone circle or a burrow or something that was already for 3,000-4,000 years honored as a nexus point for ley lines. So it's a very beautiful experience in that it's outdoor, it's in nature, you're in the wind, there's beautiful landscape feng shui around it. But as soon as you get close to a circle, you feel like you're stepping into a sacred zone. And once you're in the circle, many of your cares and woes, one could say, would disappear because you're in a joyful, what some people call a fifth-dimensional vibrational field, particularly if you're in it within the first 3 or 4 days of it coming down. And if you happen to have a photograph that was taken by someone in an airplane, you've got a meditation on very intricate and beautiful sacred geometry, and these sacred geometries are touching all spiritual traditions. It doesn't matter. You know, if you were interested in Egypt, the Mayan civilization, Native American pictograms, Kabbalistic mandalas, etchings in a cave in France, every one of those traditions will be alluded to in a crop circle sooner or later.
You know, it was interesting, the way you described it almost sounded a lot like I experience in the Enochian meditation or Enochian magic. And the question I have is when I do the Enochian magic, I sense the presence of angels, other beings. Do you sense, besides the peace and the calm and the kind of the interdimensional feeling, the presence of any other intelligent beings when you meditate in the crop circle?
Yes, I do. But they're in the feeling of the music of the spheres, the sonic field, the vibrational field, the leftover field energy of say a plasma beam coming down, perhaps from a ship. In the creation of it, the co-creation of it, the crop circles are actually teaching us that we have an aspect of ourselves that's co-creative with, you know, the angels or the higher vibrational field. And also, you're speaking of Enochian magic. Well, as a Kabbalist, I know Enoch as Hanoch. Hanoch in Hebrew means the hidden wisdom. And Hanoch, according to Kabbalistic lore, metamorphosized into the one called Metatron. And there's a whole science of sacred geometry, which is called Metatronics. It's basically how the energy grids are laid out in the etheric before coming into matter. Sonics is very much part of that.
Yeah, when you mentioned ley lines, things were being triggered in my head when I was doing pyramid research. You know, remember Joe Parr, the one of the greatest scientists since pyramid researchers, was an expert on ley lines, and he was able to measure them by moving through them. And I'm thinking, all the tests we can do in the crop circle. Do you know if there've been any devices used, like the EMF meters that are used in ghost hunting or infrared and ultraviolet photography or Curlian photography, any of those kind of things used to see if there are any kind of images or other types of beings or views of other worlds?
People have done a lot of that, and of course there was one crop circle where there was 7 or 8 minutes. It's on the net, where there was it looked a little bit like ball lightning from 314, which is a significant number, to 321 in the morning, and one of the largest circles ever came down on the 777, which was called the Stargate. You know.
Oh, was that the one with the ball moving around as the
yes.
I saw that video. That was amazing. That was totally amazing.
It is fascinating. And there's been, you know, Steve on his site has a couple of, you know, balls in daylight moving. So it's almost like the spheres of light. They're not orbs, but they, you know, they could be, a vibrational extension of from a being from a higher frequency. But they have something to do with how the circles are created. And one of the things you notice when you're in the circle at ground level is the beautiful interweaving of clockwise and counterclockwise circles and the extraordinarily beautiful lattice work, like a woven basket at ground level, which is nothing that, unless human beings had, you know, a couple of weeks to go at it without anybody looking at them and using their hands almost, it's not something that humans can be creating.
I just had a thought. Has anybody tried to overlay crop circles? Maybe they're like pieces of a puzzle that if we put together give us some message. I'm just thinking again, like cryptology with my Enochian magic. Some of them are similar.
Yeah. It has been done, but it's almost... It's in the field of crop circle researchers who have a very deep understanding of mathematical gridding. And, for instance, instead of arranging the card deck, which you have in terms of pure number mysticism, I could arrange it in terms of suits. And there's the spiral crop circles, there's the pyramidal triangular crop circles, and work with geometric themes. And, you know, one of my favorite sites is a place called Windmill Hill, and often you get beautiful circles. I was in one this year, and I believe it had actually 72 circles in it, which in Hebrew is a very, very powerful number. It has to do with cosmic consciousness, compassion, Hebrew divine
name. The 72
name,
names of God, too, yeah.
That's right. Or the 72 names of Metatron in Kabbalistic lore. So that one... There was one circle. It was the smallest of the lot, and it had five small little woven circles, doubled. So within that one circle were 10 circles, two groups, each with five. And, you know, for me, as a Jewish mystic, I thought, oh, my God, that's like the divine name with the two hays, the double breath, the in-breath and out-breath. And there was two circles. One was starting... say, from a very small circle expanding out, and the other was a large circle coming small. So it's like the aesthetic harmony in crop circles is extraordinary, and it could even bring a person to tears. It's so beautiful.
You know, when's the earliest documented crop circle? I mean, obviously, even before photography, maybe somebody tried to describe it in medieval times. Have you done it? How old are they?
Well, they're ageless, but they were noted in Britain in, I think, the 15, 1600s. But, of course, in those days, they were thought to be creations of the devil or Satan or whatever, and farmers would find them in the field and get spooked. We've only come to appreciate crop circles from about 1987 on with aerial photographs. It started with Busty Taylor doing that in Britain, and now Steve Alexander is the most gifted of the photographers doing photography in the fields.
You know, if you could send me some good photographs of some of the more magnificent crop circles, maybe I could put them on, link them up to the radio website for our listeners. And also, is there any way we can get that video of the ball lightning moving through the crop circles? That's just amazing.
I think that probably is archived on Steve's site. And as far as the photos, you're more than welcome to use any of the 80 photographs on the Oracle card deck. They'll come out fine. Just credit.
Oh, great. You know, maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because I tell you, I'm no expert, but I've done tarot readings. I've studied the tarot. I'm more interested in the history and the development of it and its relation to magic. And there have been some really interesting tarot decks out, like Lon Milo Duquette had a magical one. And when I got your tarot deck, it just blew me away. It was one of the most magnificent decks I've ever seen. If I'm not mistaken, you incorporated the Kabbalah, the astrology, the crop circles, numerology. I mean, I've never seen it. An oracle deck of cards incorporates so many mystical areas, and they're just beautiful. So I don't know, maybe you want to take a few minutes to talk about those.
Thank you so much, John. You know, I did write a book. I haven't really published it beyond my own Kabbalah students, but I wrote a short book on the tarot, and it came from a conversation I had with Donnie Beeman, who is a very good researcher from Boston area. Mm-hmm. Suggesting that at the site in Egypt of Saqqara, there was a kind of a mystery school rooted in what one could be called the tarot, and the tarot, people have connected it to Torah, but it's almost as if the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet is a formative physics language of how things get created. So with the Rider-Waite deck, for instance, that was keyed particularly to the number mysticism, be it Pythagorean or Kabbalistic, underneath those 22 major arcana.
I didn't realize that. That's one of my favorite decks, too. That's interesting.
Yeah, so when I'm looking at, you know, say the 12th card, the Wheel of, the Hanged Man, I'm certainly thinking of a vortex spin and a repolarization. I'm trying to get away from the theological or the psychological and go right into the realm of the pure physics of what is happening. And of course, if you take that into the broader standpoint, it's happening every time a crop circle is made and every time there's a shift from a clockwise to a counterclockwise. It's happening every time, from a Buddhist standpoint, every time we take a breath between in-breath and out-breath. It's happening every 2160 years at the turn of an astrological age, where an energy that's going in one direction hits a still point and then spins back the other way.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, too, the one thing I really like about your deck is sometimes in the regular tarot decks, there's a lot of negative implications, you know, death and the tower and different things. Your deck is really a spiritual development deck. It's a useful deck. It's a helpful deck. It's not, in a sense, for kind of mundane things, and I really, really like that. I wanted to ask you something before I forget. You were talking about the sacred geometry, you know, the crop circles. I just got 1,000 questions. And it really, the idea of the pyramids in Egypt, the Great Pyramid especially, with all the geometry in there, with pi, the golden sector, did you make any really good correlations between the mathematical numbers in the Great Pyramid and crop circles? Could there be some relationship between those two things that, you know, give some idea of who built them?
Yeah, and there's other people in the crop circle world who have researched who have gone that way. You know, there's if you look in the deck at, say, the 7th card, that was one that I was in, and it was the largest of its kind. It was a heptagram, meaning it was a 7-sided circle. Now, if you break a 7-sided circle, the degrees of that is 51 degrees and change, we'll say.
Right.
And we know that the angle of the Great Pyramid is 51 degrees, 51 minutes. So there's a hidden code based around the number 7 in the building of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And a friend of mine in Sedona, Rod Bearcloud, he just about wrote a whole book on that one alone. And he looked into some of the hidden implications of it. And I'll tell you, that was probably the circle that got me started. It was
that 51 degrees is really significant. And I don't know if you know this or not, but and some of the research we were doing on the Great Pyramid, especially Joe Parr was using audio amplifiers to try to generate the energy field around the Great Pyramid, and it turns out the frequency of the audio amplifier that actually triggers the field is around 51 to 52 cycles per second. Now, that's incredible. I mean,
That is incredible, and, you know, in the Crop Circle Oracle card deck, it's the West Kennet Pyramidian fractal, which came up in two different crop circles, because the circle makers, whoever they are, wherever they are, wanted us to take note of that. And it was a beautiful, beautiful circle. There was 137 surrounding it, little ones. It was also called the octagram. And I believe that that one is really the one that points to the Great Pyramid of Giza, 51 degrees, 51 minutes. So I put it at the 51st of the deck. And I even suggested that people might want to read an understanding of the pyramid that came through my guide, Abdul Hakim Aiwan, and Stephen Mailer wrote about him in a book called The Land of Osiris.
Do you have some noise in the background? I just was wondering, there's some interference or...
No, I think it's just because you're working with the telephone connection.
Okay, I know. I was just curious if we could clean that up a little bit. That's amazing because now...
Have you ever meditated at the top of the pyramid?
No, I know Joe Parr spent two nights there, believe it or not, taking electrical and magnetic measurements, and he believes that that is the most energetic part of the pyramid. It has incredible electromagnetic radiation coming up inside.
I believe that, too. I was able to be up there for about maybe a couple of hours once. This was before they made it technically illegal.
You've got to bribe the guard.
Well, there's a whole funny story there, and I put it in my novel, and if people go to my website, they can read it. If they read my Egyptian flyer advertising an Egypt trip and get to the very bottom, there's a chapter from a yet-to-be-published novel there, and it's a very funny story. I don't want to spoil it, but up at the top, I was there. I was much younger, and one of my jobs at that point was to basically charge a set of 22 quartz crystals. I think Frank Alper had given me that assignment. And I just felt, maybe it was the first time I was there, I felt that I could telepathically reach and connect to every member of my soul tribe on the planet from the top of the Giza Pyramid. It was an extraordinary feeling.
Wow. Do you think there was a capstone there that was removed or destroyed, or do you think it was never finished? And that's a debate that goes on. Now, you were up there. I was wondering what your feeling was.
I think that there was, that even to this day, there's an etheric capstone energy. And I like the way that that your friend J.J. Hertak talks about that as capstone consciousness. It's tuning into the unified field consciousness, and it's a nexus point whereby, you know, the spiraling involutionary energy from spirit hits a still point and then turns around and spirals the other way into the manifestation of spirit on earth. Something
interesting.
Like that.
I was just curious because that's one of the questions I've always was asked the most, and I think Joe Parr and others thought there was some remnants of cement, and it looked like there probably was a capstone at one time. Again, the question
legend and channeling suggests yes, and there was a gold capstone that was visible from, you know, you could be up in the hills of Galilee and it would be quite visible.
Wow. So what's your next step with this crop circle research? Do you continue to travel around and meditate and study? I guess you, like most of us, you're probably trying to find out some answers or trying to find out what do you think crop circles are trying to tell us? Maybe that's the million-dollar question. They're not man-made, they're produced by some, who knows, intelligence of a multi-dimension or an alien planet. I mean, they're not just using us as a finger-painting board, right? Yeah, let's do some artwork. But there's got to be some kind of spiritual message for us. You have any idea?
I think anyone that meditates on the cards in the card deck or has the opportunity and decides to come on a tour, particularly to Britain, though I will say that this past year I was at two conferences, and there's a man, I'll have to send it to you, John, because there's a man who's researching in Austria, Jay Goldner. He's the one that discovered one called the chalice, which is another version of the menorah. But he also, I think, was the one that put together the notion of the picture from the Shroud of Turin appearing in a compilation of two crop circles. So there's tremendous, you know, I don't like looking at it as one message. It's a multiple message of various codes and various creation codes. It's a music, and there's a beautiful music, and every year has somewhat of a different theme to it. So that's why I go to Britain every year, to meditate in the circles and to tune in to what the new vibration is coming through. And everybody is very, very interested to see what will come through in 2012. But a couple years ago there was one, and it happened outside of Avebury, and it was a picture of our solar system, and the sun had a beautiful swirl to it, as if the sun was going through a metamorphosis. And I know that Patricia Corey believes that, and believes that there's a wormhole opening up at the core of the sun in consciousness. And I think that if Charles Muses was, or Musaeus was still with us, he would say that as well.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing we have in common, is the interest in that incredible person. Well, you know, the reason I asked you about if there's a message, I mean, again, we all hope that there is, and maybe there's something, but it kind of, in the back of my mind, I kind of chuckle when I think, I can imagine some ants, you know, and all of a sudden I decide to play tit-tat-toe with a person in the ground, and the ants are seeing this and going, oh, my God, this is an amazing thing. What message is it? You know, it's just a kind of a byproduct of something nonsense, and I always wonder if the crop circles are like the byproduct of maybe multidimensional doodlers or whatever. I don't know if anybody ever thought of that.
Well, I've got an idea to do. I think that some of the gifted children, whether they're, you know, Lee Carroll's crystal children or whatever, the ones coming in now that have a galactic awareness are going to be the real decoders of the circles. They're going to meditate on them or see them and come up with totally different perception than I might from using my, you know, ancient Kabbalistic toolkit with, you know, numerology and gematria and all of this and that. So I've got a story cooking for kids whereby the crop circles are a contest among a dozen different alien groups, and that would be, I don't like the word alien particularly, but, you know, I would think that the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Andromedans, the Sirians, the Regulians, our neighbor Alpha Centurions, that there's quite a group, and they're all looking at the vibrational upgrading of our solar system and our, you know, our group and Earth, and they're having a contest to see who can open up the hearts of human beings to cosmic consciousness.
Yeah,
so they're all taking a crack at it. And of course,
yeah,
we know, you know, from various research, and whether that's Chet Snow's past life or whatever, that the Mayan and the Cherokee, particularly on Turtle Island, are very connected to the Pleiadian. And it looks like some of the Buddhist groups, and probably Britain, Northern Britain, because there's a friend of mine who's written a beautiful book on Arthur and the Arcturians and the whole Great Bear moving around, you know, the pole star of Arcturus, which is not so far away from us, really, in terms of light years. I think it's 26 light years or something. So Pleiadians are much further away in, you know, distance, parsing distance. So it's as if we're beginning to get invited back into, what was it called in Star Trek? We're connecting to the Prime Directive again, and the Galactic Council is maybe inviting our sector back in, and we've been sort of quarantined or banished for quite a period of time, and I think that David Wilcock has some things to say about that.
Can you imagine if it really is a contest? I can just picture the runner-up is the bean with five heads from Alpha Centaurus. You know, I mean, it's really an interesting. I guess what I'm learning from you is that
a halftime break there.
Yeah, we're going to be coming back in a halftime break. But what it's basically saying, we really don't have any idea if there's something, you know, significant that's a deep message to us, a spiritual message, something that's going to save us, or just some byproduct of some, you know, super intelligence, like I mentioned, the doodling on the ground of with a stick and an ant seeing it. I mean, that's what's so interesting about it. You know what? When we come back, you know what I'd like you know what I'd like to discuss is, has there been any consistent theory among psychics of what it means? Because it seems like it's all over the place. But statistically, what reason do you get from most psychics that you, say, interact with and that you feel about the purpose of the...
When we come back.
Right. Now, we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to... Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John, live on History.fm and LiveParanormal.com radio. And we'll be back in a few short minutes, so please stay tuned.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
We're back, and we're talking to Joseph Mark Cohen about crop circles and earth energy and earth grids and you name it, Egypt and 2012. Anyway, as I mentioned, I wanted to ask you about, before the break, one of the problems I have with a lot of psychics and psychic research is people can say whatever they want and there's no verification. And the question people even ask me in my magic is, how do you know it's not from your imagination or there's really... you know, something objective. And to me, in the new age and the alternative research, the best thing is statistics. Like if you had, 10 psychics look at an object and 8 of them will say it's this independently. So that's, to me, is an important question in terms of the meaning of crop circles. Do you get any kind of, I don't say consistent, but a higher probability of a certain story or an explanation of really who did them and what they're really about?
Well... I'm not somebody who does a lot of statistical research in life. I do a lot of meditation, and there's certain channels that I respect, and Patricia Corey is one of them now, and she fell down in a crop circle in 94 and claims to be, channeling the Syrian High Council since then. I have a respect for J.J. Hurtak. I also have a respect for biblical prophets as well. So I think that everyone will in the end have to find what is their truth. And, I don't think I'm the right person to ask that question, John.
No, I understand. I just, was wondering, I really don't know that many
crop
circle researchers.
I have one friend who believes that the Arcturians are the primary force behind the crop circles, but it's been opened up in the past few years, and that the Pleiadians do a, it's almost like the Arcturian energy is the designer, but the Pleiadians, they've got an alliance with the Pleiadians, and the Pleiadians help with the fabrication.
No, I didn't realize Dr. Hertzog was involved in this research, because he was on the show. We talked more about other areas, but I'll be having him back in Deseret because they're very close friends of mine. I'll ask him about his crop circles and his take.
He prophesied in the 80s that there would be a phenomena that would be important that would run for about 25 years. Well, 25 years would be from 87 to 2012. I'm very interested in Mayan calendar stuff too, and of course there's probably people listening to you that have read Carl Johan Kalman and are expecting, you know, the rapture to happen on the 28th of October. Other people are worried about, you know, Elenin and this and that, or you know, Nibiru, but you know, I've also, you know, was quite fond of reading Zechariah Sitchin. He wrote 12 books, and before he left he suggested that Nibiru wouldn't be back for about another 70 years.
Interesting.
So,
you know, maybe you can go there at 2012. What do you think the message is for 2012? Either from the crop circles or from your meditation. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that there will be some measure of earth changes. We can already see that. We can see that there's things happening deep in the magma of the planet. It feels like the Earth itself in relationship to the Sun, and I haven't read Maurice Cotterell's most recent book, but it's supposed to be quite good. The solar flares that are impacting us are rearranging our electromagnetic field, which is having a big impact on our consciousness. I feel it is going to be primarily more of a consciousness-shifting event that's going to open up the dimensional perception of those people that are on an initiatory track on planet Earth. And I do believe there will be some Earth changes some potential crises. And it's obvious from what's going on that we have to find a new way to value our ecosystem and our resources. And the whole mismanagement and pillage of the planet by corporations has got to come to an end.
It's interesting about the 2012. I kind of agree with you. I don't believe there's going to be any major physical changes on this alignment. This has happened so many times in astronomy. I was an amateur astronomer for many years, but I think it's spiritual, and I think it's again a beginning, a renewal. Again, that's my guess. It's funny because many times people say to me, "Hey, what are you going to be doing on September 21st, 2012?" I said, "I'll probably be sitting in my armchair reading, doing the same thing I did on the day before and the day after." I said, I got fooled on Y2K. I bought water and food and batteries and nothing happened. I said, you can fool me once but not twice. But when I really started really thinking about it and meditating, I really felt, like you say, it's in all the cultures that there's this feeling that something's changing, something's coming around, whether it's Native American or whether it's, you know, alternative research. There's something happening in the air, and 2012 seems to be the peak. So I agree with you and Dr. Hertek. It's got to be something spiritual. I think it's something good for the planet. What it is, we'll have to wait and see. But something I think exciting that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as an astrologer, many astrologers, and I think Jean Dixon is a psychic, we all felt that there was this five-planet conjunction in Aquarius in 1961, and that the shift of the ages was going to be a 72-year period from 1961 to 2033. The epicenter of that and the true moment of galactic alignment, if you know that term, was actually 1997, 1998. But in terms of the Mayans looking at the sun itself is about a 26-year band in the sky. So, and 2012 is, you know, it's a demarcation based on one calendar out of 17 or 18 in the Mayan calendar. It's called the long count calendar. And
right.
I think the Mayans were a little upset that José Arguelles was the one who decoded it and not them. Either that they were holding it and didn't want to share it until a little bit later. I don't know the answer to that. But it seems to me that we're, you know, we're at a pivotal point, but we're in a 72-year window of consciousness shifting that goes from 1961 to 2033. So it's not going to end in 2012. We'll be able to look at it in a new way.
Yeah, what do you think of the relationship of UFOs and crop circles? I mean, I know you don't like the statistics, but do UFOs usually appear when crop circles are formed or afterwards? Is there some kind of relationship, or is it just, you know, coincidence?
No, there is a relationship. I have a good friend I was just in contact with, and we were at Stephen Karen's conference, the summer lectures this year, and they went out. I mean, we did some meditation at Avebury and with Kenneth Longbarrow, and we were in a couple of circles together, and I just got an email from her, and the day after they went out into a formation, which I think will be called the Molecule, or and they said that they had a ship over them during their meditation. And last year I was in one at a place called Mir, for those people that are listening that know the sources, and it came down on the summer solstice, yeah, which is a very potent time for crop circles, and I was in that circle maybe 6 hours after it came down, and it was very sobering, a vibration that was different than the lightness and joy I usually feel. I felt like I was in a place where there was a computer program put down, and I was being downloaded, and I just needed to shut off all mentation and just be with that energy for later revelation. And then at the very end of it, a group of, I would call them kids, but young people from France were up on the hill, and they said that they had footage in the can from a ship that was over it the night before. But I think most of the time the crop circles are being created by a plasma beam, and you're not going to see, you know, a physical UFO, but you might feel an interdimensional intelligence.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You answered my question. I was going to say, has there been any kind of observations that if you got into a crop circle really soon after it was formed, it would be more energetic than a day later, like a fading of the energy?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I guess the answer is yes to that. And how long would it
absolutely
last, would you say? If you had a plot, again, here's my mathematical, my science in me, but let's say you had a plot, you got 100%, right after the crop circle is formed, would it like fall down exponentially? Would it go over days or weeks or months? And always.
Well, I would say usually within about 3 days it would be down to about 60%.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, and within about a week it might be down to like under 50, 40%, like that. There are exceptions. The exceptions are the circles that take more than one visitation, I will say, for them to be formed. Because there was one that people thought was a UFO. You've got the deck. It was some kind of star being. I believe it was actually a Hopi Kachina connected to the Pleiadians. It's card 75 in your deck. And that one came down in three different phases. It came down on the summer solstice, and then it came down 3 days, 4 days later, and then it came down a week or 10 days later, because they kept adding to it. And there's been a few crop circles that are, you know, two visitations to create it. And those ones seem to have a stronger field that lasts longer. I was in that one like 3 weeks after the first creation moment, and it was still very potent.
What about animals?
Powerful.
How do animals react? If you have dogs and cats, I mean, do they get freaked out, or do they go crazy, or what kind of responses have you seen?
Well, it depends
at
what time. I mean, a friend of mine, Janet Ossenberg, she brings her dog into every circle, and her dog seems to really love it. But that's after the fact. I think Greg Braden pointed out that there's never really been animals that have, you know, suffered under a crop circle, except for, I think it was an opossum or a porcupine, an animal that when feeling a strange energy would freeze and stay in one place, they might get creamed in a crop circle. from a very high vibrational field, you know.
It would be like a human being hit by lightning,
you know.
Has there been any navigational problems, like with pilots flying over crop circles, like the Bermuda Triangle, anything like that?
I would expect so. There's been many people exploring crop circles who find that their digital cameras or their DVD equipment or their monitors or whatever will not work in a fresh crop circle, because the electromagnetic field is so strong that it knocks out, you know, our electronic devices. Now that, as an omen, or as an oracle, or as an augury, says, and it's part of what Drinvala Melchizedek used to talk about, that if we enter into what is called the shift, and there's a large solar flare or something like that, some of our electronics and our reliance upon our particular grid may not function for a period of time.
You mean I have to go without email? I don't think
I
could
survive. Let's just say that with all the meditation you've been doing, Dr. John, your email might have to be telepathic for a short period of time.
You know, it's funny you brought that up, because I was talking to someone about this today, and we were really concerned about the average person out there, the way they're bombarded with TV and sports. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with recreation, but it seems like they've shut out spiritual development and opening up. I'm not everybody, of course, but more people now than maybe, you know, 50 years ago or 30 years ago when I was in college. I wasn't in college that long ago.
Well,
it's scary that, you know, what's happening? I would be hoping people would be becoming more spiritual aware. And so I don't know. There may be some truth. Maybe they're going to give us a shock, and they interrupted all our electronics and people couldn't watch TV and play their video games and do all these things. It would cause
us to stop and think. Yeah, well, the mythology, the myths on it go like this. I mean, I remember when I used to read a lot of channeling when I lived in, you know, I was in Sedona often, and the mythology was that it was the Orion group that wants to turn us all into, cybernetic human beings, and therefore introduced all of the electronic devices to turn us more into electronic humans, one could say, whereas the Pleiadians would like to see us have a much better shamanic life in nature. So there may be different value systems from different star systems, and we have different... Well, you know, we're the children of many different star systems here on planet Earth, Dr. John, you know. So we have different values. It's not just, you know, the Sufis think this and the Hindus think that. And, you know, our cultures are based, each culture has a star mythology and star ancestors, as far as I can tell.
Well, you know, philosophically, you may be right, because sometimes, many times people ask me, like, are computers good or evil? Is this good or evil? I say nothing is good or evil. It's an object. It's how you use it. It's your intent. And when people say, well, you know, what do you define as good and what is evil? I keep it simple. Anything that brings me closer to God and goodness is good, and anything that brings me farther away is evil. I think it's a simplistic answer, but I think we have been created for a spiritual development of becoming one with God or going towards the light. And anything that moves us in that direction is good. Anything that moves us away is negative. So there could be forces out there trying to keep us away, whether they're jealous of the human race or, you know, like the fallen angels or whoever, or other forces that are true brothers or true spiritual brothers that are helping us. So, you know, it's an interesting question to ponder.
Yeah, there's a whole theological issue there, but from my experience, the crop circle energy is an extraordinarily positive, joyful, and spiritually and in consciousness expanding experience.
I would I've never experienced one, but I would love to. You know, we got about 3 minutes left. So what would you like to, you know, talk about in this short time? I, like I said, I knew the problem with having you on is we could go on for hours and hours. And I hope you'll come back another time and we can just continue. I mean, it's just, I have like 5 pages of things I wrote down that I wanted to ask, and I think I'm down, you know, half a paragraph. So it's just amazing. But, yeah, why don't, you know, what would you like to maybe talk about? Maybe about what you have available, your Oracle cards or your tours or something like
that?
Well,
people, you know, you've said you've got a link to the website. I would certainly encourage people to acquire a copy of the Crop Circle Oracle cards. It really could be, I've put an extraordinary bibliography as a resource on the bottom. The deck is dedicated to William Blake and John Michel, if people know who those people are. I was a Blake student in university, and John Michel was a friend of mine and perhaps the dean of Earth Mysteries in Britain. And the Oracle cards will activate, I believe, an aspect of the right hemisphere of the brain. One would start going into a deeper level of visionary consciousness. And if people want to come with me and have a Kabbalistic astrology reading, they're more than welcome. They can find me on treeoflifeschool.com, or they can email me at josephmarkcohen@gmail.com. And if they want to do some inner adventure travel and come on an expensive but very beautiful trip to Egypt, I've got one planned for initially for November, but the one that I think people would come on would be February of 2012. And periodically I will do my Codes of the Kabbalah retreat either in Sedona, Arizona, or right here in British Columbia. I live in a beautiful region called the Kootenays, about 3 hours from Spokane, Washington, and I enjoy best having people come right to my geodesic dome and working with me in my own home.
Well, that sounds great. I was going to ask you what part of Canada you were from, and it just sounds wonderful. But, you know, I think this whole area, whether it's, you know, crop circle research or whether it's Kabbalistic astrology, you really, in my opinion, have, you know, got your fingers and your hands on areas that are very important for our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual awareness. And just to mention, too, I know you threw your website out, but if listeners can't remember that, just go to drjohnradio.com, and under tonight's show, we got the links to your websites, and they can find information about your... like I said, I feel your Oracle cards, your Crop Circle Oracle cards, are the best, I would say, tarot or oracle cards that I've ever had, and I've had most of the different kinds, and I've studied them. Again, I'm no expert, but they're just wonderful, very user-friendly, and a beautiful addition to any type of metaphysical research. But what can I say? I really thank you for coming on. You've been a great guest, and just a wealth of information, and I hope you do move next to me so we can talk every night 3 or 4 in the morning.
We'll see what we can do. Either that, or we'll have to go to Egypt and have a long chat aboard a camel.
Oh, that sounds great.
We could be camel mates.
Hey, listen, Joseph Mark, thank you so much, and thanks for your time tonight, and we'll have you back again soon, okay?
Be delighted. Thanks again.
No problem. Thank you so much. Well, that ends another evening with Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal, and I wanted to thank my special guest, Joseph Mark Cohen, for being with us tonight. I'd like to also thank Rob Zierek, the owner of LifeParanormal.com Radio, for hosting the show, and Carla of Master Control for helping control everything, I guess, and taking care of all the problems we have, and ClassicalIndia.com for permission to use their music. And but most especially, I want to thank you, the listeners, for joining us tonight, and I hope you join us again next week for another special program. And until next week, good night, and may God be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.